Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
I felt like it was a warm invitation to share our story with your listeners. And hopefully we've inspired listeners to learn more about the role of cryopreservation of cells and how that supports cellular therapies for patients with cancer and other life-threatening diseases.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Today's mentor guests are founder of Blue Cube Bio and Chief Scientific Officer Allison Hubble and President and CEO Karen Dodson are joining me today from two different locations. Hi, Allison.
Hello, Nancy.
She's in St. Paul and Karen is in
Lake Elmo, Minnesota.
Yay.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, good to hear you. So Blue Cube Bio is a startup from the Biopreservation Core Resource at the University of Minnesota. Their story began by looking right outside their windows and asking, how do trees survive Minnesota winters? The answer is combinations of molecules called osmolytes that works synergistically with cells and water at sub-zero temperatures. Built on 7 years of world-class cryobiological research, their technology protects a variety of cell types against the stresses of freeze-thaw and can help you capitalize on the cryopreservation of your cell products. So they have several different products in the works, and they'll be talking a little bit more about that. You heard a little bit briefly in our last conversation about how they preserve cells or talking about cell preservation and how to apply it to conservation. Allison talked about herself as being a random genetic mutation. I love that. I'm going to run with that, Allison. to describe her background as a mechanical engineer and also involving the scientific world of biopreservation. So welcome to the program, both of you. Dr. Allison Hubble, like I said, is the founder and the chief scientific officer of Blue Cube Bio. She's a key opinion leader in preservation with over 30 years of expertise in the field. And I'm just, as you probably notice, I don't have a lot of experience or background and know very little about bioengineering and mechanical engineering. But anyways, I'm learning with you as you're listening. And in addition to serving as the Blue Cube's bio CSO, Allison is also a professor of mechanical engineering and the director of biopreservation core resource at the University of Minnesota. Allison's research focuses on the development of fit-for-purpose protocols for preservation. And we'll talk a little bit about that. The development of technology to improve the preservation process of cells and understanding the molecular mechanisms of damage during preservation. So the damage that you're talking about with preserving cells, is it, Allison?
Yes.
Okay. What kinds of things are damaged in the process, or what do you have to make sure that you're, how do you preserve cells?
So one of the things you have to keep in mind is you have to, when you take something from a body temperature to liquid nitrogen temperature, there are a bunch of things that are happening. One of the things that changes, obviously, ice forming. And so one of the things you have to control is the behavior of the water that changes from liquid water to solid water. Another thing that can happen is the cell has different components, right? There's a cell membrane, and you have to make sure that all of those critical components of the cell are preserved and they're not damaged in the preservation process.
And how often do you have to get rid of the damaged cells? Like, is it a frequent thing or?
So I always tell, especially my graduate students, that it's really quite, we're really good at killing cells. And it takes more skill and elegance to avoid that because your body doesn't want you. So if you take a cell and it's been damaged, and you put it into the body, your body will get rid of it because your body is supposed to do that with damaged cells, even the cells in your body that haven't been preserved. So we need to, in order to have a therapeutic effect, the cells have to be viable and they have to be functional.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Karen has 26 years of cellular therapy, which is her background, as you heard in our last conversation, really adds to understanding, having the relationships, but also having the experience in working with numerous senior roles at the National Marrow Donor Program. Most recently, Karen served as the Chief Operating Officer at National Marrow Donor Program, where she led revenue-generating operations with profit and loss statements of $200 million in United States dollars and a global network of transplant, donor, collection centers, and international registries. So Karen strives to obtain operational excellence by streamlining processes and mentoring young leaders to reach the overall goal of enriching and improving their lives. And she also, with her cellular therapies interest, she's interested in preserving the quality of people's lives and doing something meaningful. And it fits with the direction that Allison is going with Blue Cube Bio and the research and the products that they're doing to help people really with blood cancer to be able to treat themselves. So in today's conversation, we're interested in kind of taking our first conversation, which was focused on the inspirational ecosystem and how compassion, curiosity, and coaching led to them winning the Minnesota Cup winner grand prize, which was $50,000. And then they also won, they were awarded $30,000 earlier this year for the life science / health IT division, which is in one of nine categories. And it's a really difficult, challenging award to get. It's very competitive. And so we thought we would take the inspiration ecosystem of how compassion, curiosity, and coaching not only led to award-winning startup, but what's behind that winning strategy is also a group of four women. And so we want to focus our conversation about the team itself and get into a little bit more depth about the work itself that you're doing. So thank you so much for being here for a second conversation, Allison and Karen.
It's my pleasure.
Great. All right. So first question, what's your philosophy as a team?
Nancy, as an emerging company, collaboration is really essential at this point. Because our team is small and we must play multiple roles to get the work done. Yeah. And so this often means that someone steps up to master a new skill, seeks additional mentors outside the company, and shares the knowledge that they've learned with the team. It also means stepping in for each other when needed. Last week, I had to travel out of state to be with a sick parent, and my colleagues were immediately there to help take on any responsibilities as needed.
Wow.
We each bring different expertise and perspectives, and that's what makes our team work.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the constraints that a small company can have is when team members are used to being in very well-defined roles. One of the dynamics in being in an entrepreneurial environment is there's a huge volume of work that needs to get done. And so the thinking is really, you know, let's divvy up the work and go get the work done. Less about roles, more about the work itself. How have you been finding that experience, Allison? It's probably more of a question for Karen, too, but I would like you both to answer it.
So I'm kind of going to pivot the question ever so slightly. I think what my perspective is, and this is something we've been going through with some professional development that we've been doing as a team, is that each member should have certain roles and responsibilities. Now, they could change quickly, but each individual has to be empowered to move forward with, you know, things that tasks that have to be done to move the company forward. And so, you know, we can agree upon those tasks and milestones and then hold each other accountable for accomplishing tasks. If the structure of the company is too amorphous, then nobody's responsible for anything, if you know what I mean.
There's no sense of accountability.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we have set up this structure with individual roles and responsibilities in order to promote both autonomy as well as accountability.
Exactly. Okay.
But there's always situations in which you do have to step in and do something you never thought you'd be doing or haven't done before.
Yeah. And how has that been for you? Do you feel really stretched in those situations?
Absolutely not. I find change to be something I look forward to. You know, some people find change daunting, but I find it something to be excited about.
Okay. That has that underlying curiosity about it. Okay. Karen, how about you?
I agree with Allison. I'm a continuous learner. I love learning new things. And if I encounter something that I haven't done before, I just look through my sort of list of networking contacts or people I've met in the past and have worked with in the past and call them up and ask if they could give me share their insights and strategies with me so that I can learn how to do a new activity.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. As you're seeing where your market is and what your products can do, having the team kind of understand the process of research and refining and getting your products ready for mass distribution. So having the roles and responsibilities and being able to work within that with some flexibility to make sure that you're able to achieve those tasks and the milestones so you can hold people accountable for the work that they're doing, which also helps them have further deeper ownership into the work itself. So how are you transitioning the team from going from PhD students into full-time employees?
So it's a gradual transition. They've currently have one foot in both places. Certainly their most important goal is to finish their PhD right now. And they also are contributing part-time to the work of Blue Cube Bio.
So Katie Hornberger, and we're talking about Katie Hornberger and Ray Lee, who bring out the four-person bio team. Is that?
That's correct. Okay. That's correct.
Go ahead.
Ray is leading our research and development in close collaboration with Allison and the academic laboratory. And Katie is leading our manufacturing and quality for the organization, coming up with strategies to scale manufacturing from that research to higher throughput manufacturing for commercial sales.
So are you in, physically, in some division of the U of M, or are you on your own? Are you in a separate building?
The team has reserved space at the Stem Cell Institute at the University of Minnesota. But before we could build out our space to meet our needs, the pandemic happened. And so we're currently all working from home, primarily working from home, and Ray and Katie going into the University of Minnesota laboratory to conduct their PhD research.
I see. Or what part of your projects are you working on right now that are generating a lot of curiosity? And you've got two products that are almost available, or are they available right now? The cube, the M cubes?
So we're really diving into the sales process right now. In my past, I've done some sales to existing customers, but this is my first time, and I think the team's first time, that we're making outreach to companies that are new to us and researchers that are new to us. And it's been definitely a learning experience, and we're learning how to leverage marketing strategies and techniques to really generate the sales of those first products.
Yeah. And when, okay, so have you sold the products yet?
We have had some initial sales. We did a very soft launch at the beginning of this last quarter of the year, and we're gearing up to do a stronger launch of the products based on kind of our learnings from that soft launch.
Can you talk about how the audience could connect with you and why they would connect with you to check out M-Cube GLP or M-Cube?
You may be thinking of our second product,
M-Cube, GMP.
Yeah. So M-Cube is for mesenchymal stromal cell cryopreservation, and I-Cube is for induced pluripotent cell cryopreservation. And interested academic researchers or cell manufacturers that are making cell therapies can contact us via our website, bluecubebio.com. Is probably the easiest way to quickly get in touch with us.
That sounds great. How do you control your time and the decision-making process for these time constraints that you're under to get the product to the market?
So we've actively been engaged in, this is Karen, in adopting the entrepreneurial operating system to run our company. This is, it's also known as DOS, and it has a real high adoption rate in Minnesota.
Especially amongst manufacturing companies. Yeah.
Yes, it's quite popular. And so that's, we engaged a local consultant and to help us really focus on what are the our key strategies and the most important deliverables that we need to do to achieve our outcomes and our vision and strategy.
Excellent. And where is the product being manufactured right now?
Allison, do you want to talk a little bit about our current manufacturer?
So there is a facility on the St. Paul campus that can do manufacturing. It's called the Biological Resource Center, and they have been manufacturing for us for the last couple of years. But as most businesses, we need to be concerned about scaling out and also having more than one manufacturing site in case one manufacturing site goes down. So we're in the process of qualifying either one or two additional sites for manufacturing of our products. At this point, the manufacturing process is not complicated or difficult. So we're only going to be looking at contract manufacturers right now. And so we're in the process of qualifying those manufacturers.
Okay. That's fantastic. Yeah, if you're not developing, yeah, contract manufacturing, you can go a long ways with that. And what are your core values that kind of solidify you as a team?
I would start with an unceasing desire to explore new problems or unanswered questions. Mm. I mean, I think this Blue Cube Bio comes from an academic beginning, and the team members just have a incredible curiosity for discovery, and then being able to take those discoveries and implement them in a way that makes a difference in the world. Also, collaboration, compassion, resiliency come to mind. And Allison, I don't know if you have some others to add.
We also are very committed. When we did our customer discovery, it was very clear that people felt a tremendous need for high levels of technical assistance in this area. Mm-hmm. So one of our core values is high quality, high touch service as well.
Nice. Yeah, I can see where that hands-on experience would really enhance your ability to really provide the best products and service you can. So you talked a little bit about your vision going forward. Talk a little bit about, you've got some products in the works that you're expanding on right now. You're in the sales process of the MQ Cryo preservation product, and then also the M-Cube. Could you repeat what the difference is between the two solutions?
So there is one product for mesenchymal stromal cells, that's M-Cube. And then there is I-Cube, which is the solution for induced pluripotent stem cells. And there may be different grades of each of these products, because one grade is for research use only, so that you can test out the product. But ultimately, we are hoping that these products will be used in the preservation of cell therapies. And so we will have to offer another product that is manufactured at a higher quality level, and that one would be used in the actual human therapeutic product.
Can you talk a little bit of how your product is also addressing the issues that people are having with their lungs regarding COVID-19?
So mesenchymal stromal cells, even before COVID, have been used to treat people who've had acute lung injury. And you don't have to worry about understanding all of the medical issues, but a common form of acute lung injury is pneumonia, and most people understand what pneumonia is.
Right.
So this cell type has been used to actually help heal lungs that have undergone an injury. And since the pandemic began, it became very clear, obviously, that the lungs are a major site of damage. And so right now there are clinical trials in which they're using that cell type, mesenchymal stromal cells, to treat COVID-related lung injury. Now, there's also been an observation of what they call MIS, which I believe is multi-system inflammatory syndrome, which is some children who get COVID express this this disease. And this cell type, mesenchymal stromal cells, are also being studied to treat children who are showing this MIS, which is a COVID-related side effect of COVID infection. So the introduction of our MQ product into the marketplace right now is really critically timed, in that this cell type is of tremendous interest for the treatment of more than one consequence of COVID infection.
Yeah. So, and that's really critical for the long-term recovery, because that's what we don't know right now, right? Is it's one thing, you know, the treatments for initially when you have the coronavirus, but then the long-term effects to your lungs are unknown right now. And so could this help with the long-term effects?
It would be our hope that this could. And just to bring this home, a good friend of mine did come down with coronavirus and was largely, you know, he stayed at home and then got better in a couple of weeks. But he went into the doctor for some other issue. I think he has asthma, if I remember correctly. And he found out then how much damage to his lungs he had experienced. And he was not hospitalized at all. So we know that there are there's lung injury associated with COVID infection. And right now, these clinical trials are trying to determine what therapeutic effect this cell type, mesenchymal stromal cells, has on resolving some of these lung injuries that are being observed.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. So what you're doing is really important right now, especially even. I'm glad to be part of kind of broadening the understanding of how you can help with the cells in recovery from these lung damage that occurs. Whew. All right. Where are you going, with your company? You know, what are you looking forward to? It looks like you're in the sales process now. So you're working on the sales in the operational end of things. You're also looking at the entrepreneurial operating system, which is called Traction. And it's a way to organize to make the teams and to make sure that the accountability is in place to keep track of all the different areas that are needing to be done in order to produce these cell type products. And what is your vision going forward?
Nancy, we're also engaged in fundraising for our venture as well, too. We're looking forward to achieving a goal of $550,000 for our first seed round in 2021. And, you know, really leveraging this Minnesota Cup success that we've had to seek other potential investors or funding that would help accelerate the company forward.
Excellent. So describe a little bit about, because the $80,000 was really considered this year as kind of part of a seed round for this year. Is that correct?
Right. It's our first major investment in the company.
Yeah.
And, it was a wonderful opportunity to participate because it did give us visibility within the scientific community in town, as well as the community that's interested in investing in biotech.
Mm.
And so that's helped us sort of launch some conversations with investors that would be interested in, looking at supporting the company as we look to achieve our goals in the next 5 years.
And is part of the fundraising going to be tapping into the Silicon Valley type of investors, venture capitalists?
So right now we've really focused on sort of the Minnesota region, but, We also are a member of Medical Alley, which you may be familiar with. It's an association of biotech companies in Minnesota. They have connections to both coasts and potential investors in both coasts of the country.
Yeah, they are a large organization that really provides tremendous programming and resources for those in the medical field. On all levels. Yeah. Excellent. Mm-hmm. All right. And I appreciate your openness to talk about all these, aspects of your venture. We kind of went into a little bit more depth than you might have thought we would have, but I appreciate that you've been, I think as our listeners and I who are emerging to very experienced entrepreneurs and business owners, they like and they're craving kind of the details behind how people are, you know, winning awards and really growing their venture. And so I just appreciate your openness to share some of those tidbits, because it's all really helpful in the grand scheme of gathering a lot of information and resources. And we never know, too, where your next funding dollar is going to be coming from. And so I'm hoping that one of the listeners or, you know, many refer or respond in kind to help you along your journey to get us more cell research to and to regenerate our cells so that we can, you know, control some of the inflammation and blood disorders that we have in our world or in our bodies. All right. Is there anything else that you would like to share as we're closing out our conversation today? Allison?
Well, our hope would be, I mean, part of the reason why we are so committed to this path is we see that cell therapies are really the future of medicine. And it's important to understand that unlike a drug or a medical device, cell therapies are really meant to be curative and regenerative. So what we are looking for, what we are hoping to support, is a future in which diseases can be cured and not just managed. So this is why we're excited. This is why we're committed to this path.
Excellent. And Karen?
I don't think I can top what Allison has said. I think if our role is to be able to spread these therapies further throughout the United States and the world, I think we'll have accomplished a great deal.
Yeah, because all bodily problems seem to start in the cell and inflammation.
There's just so many possibilities. You're right. Inflammation or some sort of trauma or injury and restoring those cells would mean the difference between a cure and ongoing treatments. So,
yeah, and we're really long overdue for more kind of responsive therapies. You know, where we get a big bang for the investment that we put into, you know, treating ourselves. And it seems like, and the cell is connected to the whole body. And so it makes it a lot easier to take a look at the whole body when the treatments and are focused on something that's in every aspect of the body. Great. Well, thank you so much for your generous spirits and your insights. And let's see what happens next in our world. Good luck as you finish out this year and move into a better, hopefully, 2021. I wish you well as you're getting your infrastructure in place and really hitting your product out into the marketplace in a way that works for all of you.
Thank you for hosting us, Nancy.
Okay.
Bye.
Yeah, thank you, Karen and Allison. And thank you, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, Mon Frere, brother from another mother. And we'll see all of you next week. Thanks for tuning in. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. I totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to involve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our WeMentor self-leadership community. You can subscribe for free through WeMentor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana,
Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in these all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a We Mentor Mini Lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in We Mentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out wementor.com. You can email me, nancy@wementor.com, or call me, 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening, and we'll see you next week.